So, as we get started, the sharing that I'm going to do tonight is kind of a twofold here. It's sharing of on righteousness, but it's also, I'm going to look at it from a couple different aspects. I'm going to look at it for a country's righteousness, one, as a family's righteousness or an individual group element. You know, it doesn't have to be like just your immediate family. It could be your extended family as well. And then individual when we're looking at righteousness. Okay, so the righteousness can spread out. It can apply to more than one group. Obviously, it applies to each person individually as it does to extend out. William Penn said, "Those who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants." Okay, William Penn is a relative of mine. I found that out from my dad who used to do a lot of genealogy, and he is a person that is in our family line. Anybody know who this is?
Chicago gangster, but I can't remember it.
Al Capone. Okay. And anybody know who that is?
Elliot Ness.
That's right. His nemesis. The Untouchable. So the background to this, which is kind of neat, is this. It was in the mid to late 1920s that Al Capone came to power. And he built up a mega empire. And he was corrupt through and through. He ended up getting police forces on his side that were being paid under the table, judges, all law enforcement, all people that he needed to, he would buy off. And his ideal was that there was nobody that was untouchable. Nobody. Everybody had a price and could be bought. It's just for how much. And so when Elliot Ness came along, and he worked for the Treasury Department, he came along to get him and to take him down and bring him down. And the two feuded for a while. And it was to the point where the one was trying to kill the other. They were both after each other. Al Capone actually killed one of his friends. He decided, we'll do the same thing that we did with the cops and with the lawyers and the judges. We'll buy him off. We'll just pay him off. Now, at that time, the average annual salary for Elliot Ness was $2,800 a year. I mean, you got to remember, this is the 1920s. Okay, $2,800 a year. Al Capone sent a messenger with an envelope with $2,000 to Elliot Ness and told him, he goes, this is weekly salary if you're on my side. Weekly salary. Elliot Ness put the money back in the envelope. After he counted, put the money back in the envelope, handed it back and told him to take it back to him. Soon as he left from there, he went and called the paper and told them, here's what happened. Here's what they offered me. Here's what happens. The paper is the one who named them the Untouchables. Huh. Because this guy will not be bought. Here he is, basically $2,000 a week just to stop pursuing Al Capone. He could still draw his $2,800 a year, but just to stop going after him. Al Capone was mega millions at that time, even in the 20s. And so this was nothing, but it was to make him go away. I'll buy you off. I'll pay you way more than it's worth. And he would not do it. Elliot Ness would not do it. And so what he did is he became a legend. Elliot Ness became a legend for a person standing up for justice or for righteousness to go against the evil empire or the tyrant. And so it's kind of a neat story because it's American history. And like how tempting it would be for a person. You think about that. If you're in financial crisis and some guy's going to be like going, all I have to do is quit looking for him. I don't have to kill anybody. I don't have to rob from anybody. I don't have to go shake anybody down. I just have to stop looking for this guy. And I get $2,000 a week. And you're like going, but how tempting would that be? And that's what Al Capone thought. There's no way this guy will turn that down. Okay, so it was a legend. He became a legend because of that. He refused it to honor his service and do what he was supposed to do, what he knew he was supposed to do. So we're doing, again, a study of the righteousness. And so I'm going to kind of break that down. Now let me do something here real quick. Whoops, I lost the thing. I'm sorry. I had it on here and I must have shut it down. It was the actual pronunciation of the word, which is tzedakah. The TS is like the tsunami sound. The T is a silent. It's tzedakah. And it's basically the root word from tzedakah. And that means righteousness, justice. You see here the different meanings of it. This is the feminine use of it. The original one from the 6663 is the masculine. And of the two of them, and I'm going to kind of go through them, how many times they're used. I had it on the other page, and I do apologize. There's only four books that had more than 10 occurrences of it. And that was Psalms, Isaiah, Nehemiah, And I believe Proverbs was the fourth one. The rest of the books had them anything under 10. Some of them were up to 34, 37 usage. So Isaiah had the highest usages of that for the righteousness. The legend that we're talking about, Yahweh has called for us to be a legend. Okay, for us to be able to teach and to train up the generations of ourselves, our future generations, so that these words can be passed down. What we gain, we don't want to be lost in future generations.
Yeah.
He's calling us to be known for our integrity. People who can't be bought. And that's why I use the Elliot Ness thing, is for people who can't be bought out. It's too easy nowadays to see that. You see that in a church where they will avoid a topic because that will push people out. And people that are coming in fill the pews. People that are in the pews also donate to the church. There can be lots of things with that. But you can become sold out when you trade the doctrines of men for the doctrines of Yahweh. And that's what we're talking about, people who cannot be bought. People who stand for righteousness in a land that is filled with evil and corruption. Boy, do we see that anywhere going on?
Yeah.
And so we're going to look at a few scriptures here. What Yahweh wants, or what Yahweh tells us, here's what I require, is justice, the righteousness, loving kindness, mercy, and a humble walk with Him. And so as we go through there and we look at this, this is what Yahweh wants. Now, if He tells us this, we pretty much have to say, okay, this is Him telling us that He loves these things. This is what He wants, and so this is where we have to stand. So let's start off here in the first scripture in Micah. All right, Micah chapter 6.
Page
888. So chapter 6, verses 4 through 8 on page 888 on the bottom left side, starting in verse 4. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slaves. That's interesting that Yahweh says this. A lot of times He reminds the people. Should the people have to be reminded No. that they brought them up? This is a great point that I see over and over again, and I think to myself, Yahweh keeps reminding them. This is known, okay? This is from the time that happened through all history, it is known what happened.
Yeah.
Why does Yahweh keep bringing that up? Well, it's important, and so I think to myself, we also have to be thinking to ourselves, golly, look at what Yahweh did for me. I remember when Yahweh did this. I remember when Yahweh did that. And we need to be doing that to ourselves as too, because guess what? Nature, human nature is, we forget about these things and we fall in the, oh, me, what's wrong with me? How can I work my way past that? Yahweh's doing the same thing with His children right here. I brought you up out of Egypt. Remember that? Well, okay. So again, I think about that to remind ourselves. So going back in here, into verse 4, for I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slaves, I ransomed thee, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Of my people, remember, I pray you, what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him. From the Acacias, what is that?
Acacias,
as far as Gilgal, that they may know the righteousness of Yahweh. Verse 6, wherewith shall I come before Yahweh? Bow myself to Elohim on high. Shall I come before Him with ascending sacrifices and with calves a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with the thousands of rams, with the myriads of torrents of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And I think about this also with when we go all the way back to Samuel. He's like going, you know, better is the sacrifice, or better the obedience than the sacrifice, the blood of the rams, okay? That's not what I'm asking for. I'm asking for your righteousness, okay? That's what I'm asking for. So this is what he's questioning. So verse 8, he hath told thee, O son of earth, what is good? What then is Yahweh seeking of thee but to do justice, to delight in loving kindness, and to humbly walk with thy Elohim? And that's it. And that's what he's saying. Yes, this is the things that he wants. Proverbs 11, we're going to kind of look at this and we're going to break this down here a little bit. So back to the left there, about a pinch full of papers, page 616. And Proverbs is kind of a neat thing. If anybody ever wants to start, if they're new to reading the Word, Proverbs is not a bad place to start because there are 31 chapters, and you can set a goal for 1 month to read one chapter a day. Okay, it's really easy, quick read 1 month, and it should get you excited because there's a lot of information all within the Proverbs. And then I would start off, you know, in a book that you, in the Old Testament that you like it. Anyways, let's look here. I'm going to read a few of these and have some people help me with this as well. In chapter 11, let's look at verse 1 through 6. So again, we're looking at the righteousness, and we're looking at how this is broken down. And see the comparison that Yahweh puts in here. It's the this or that.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it's a really neat comparison how he does this. And here we go in verse 1. A deceptive balance, and we're talking about in weights and measurements, which is really neat because when you do the word study, which I did the theological word study for the righteousness, there's a whole portion of that for the justice of cheating somebody. The cheating, ripping somebody off. And that's what one of them right here. This is the weights, okay, in verse 1. A deceptive balance is an abomination to Yahweh, but a full weight is his delight. We're talking about the scales, about cheating somebody on the scales. Verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh contempt, but with the modest is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous shall be their ruin. Wealth shall not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness shall deliver from death. The righteousness of the blameless shall smooth his way, but by his own lawlessness shall the lawless one fall. The righteous of the upright shall deliver them, but by their own craving shall the treacherous be captured. Jump down now to verse 8, and we'll go 8 through 11. The righteous man out of distress is delivered. Then cometh a lawless man into his place. Now, what they're referring to is that it's past. If you read the other translations the righteous man out of distress is delivered. Then that distress is put upon the lawless man is what that's saying. Okay, verse 9. With a mouth a profane man destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall righteous men be delivered. 10. And when it is well with the righteous, the city exalteth. When the lawless perish, there is a shout of triumph. Verse 11, when the upright are blessed, exalted is the city, but by the mouth of the lawless it is overthrown. Now let's jump down to verse 17, if you will, please. The man of loving kindness dwelt with his own soul, or nephesh, but the cruel man troubleth his own flesh. And I like that. The person who's doing these things is actually tormenting themselves, even though it feels like they're putting them on somebody else. The lawless man earneth the wages of falsehood, but he that soweth righteousness hath the reward of fidelity, or the sure reward, the true reward. A righteous son turneth to life, but he that pursueth wickedness to his own death. In verse 20, the abomination of Yahweh are they of the perverse heart, but his delight are the men of blameless life. In verse 21, hand to hand the wicked men shall not be held innocent, but the seed of the righteous hath been delivered. Now jump down to 23. The desire of righteous is only good. The expectation of the lawless is wrath. And now let's go to 27 and 28. Would somebody read 27 and 28?
He that diligently seeketh good aimeth at favor, but he that studieth mischief, it shall come on himself. He that trusteth in his riches, the same shall fall. But like the leaf shall the righteous break forth.
And that what they're saying here is this. But like the leaf, they're talking about the foliage bringing forth, like a new spring, mm-hmm. where the new buds come, and from that keeps growing and growing. Is what they're talking about. Would you do also 30 and 31 for me, please?
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that rescueth souls is wise. Lo, the righteous in the earth shall be recompensed. How much more the lawless and the sinner.
That's it. And so it breaks it down here on that. And you see a lot of them where it just flows. The whole chapter of 11 is just talking about the righteous. And it's talking about if the righteous this, the unrighteous or unjust this. This is what will happen. And so it's kind of giving you the whole setup right there for what we're looking at. And so what Yahweh's doing is he's laying it out before you to make a choice. And I heard a great line the other day about it came from a movie, and I'm like, oh, what a great line. And it, basically what it was referring to is, person's like, I don't want to get involved. I just want to be on the sideline. And he goes, you're in the game. You may be on the side, but you're in the game, whether you like it or not. Yeah. There is no sideline. You are this or you are that.
Yeah.
There is no sideline. You can't stand by as a bystander. And when you prepare yourself to just be the bystander, you're just basically dead weight to the rest of the team. Because you're in the game. You are in the game. And so Yahweh's telling us, make the choice. Which do you want? You can have this or you can have that. Here was a good one. This is a quote from a Russian that was 1820s. And it says, once you remove the God of Scripture from your life, everything is permissible. Those who reject Yahweh's righteousness do so because it interferes with what they want to do in their lives.
Huh.
Duh. This was the 1820s in Russia. Okay, this guy was born in Moscow, and he saw what was happening. He saw where the future of the country was leading and what was taking place. And he warned the people that by virtue of doing this, you will bring the ruin to what's coming. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. I'm like going, yeah, that's perfect, especially from that era. So, kind of a funny story that I came across. A story of a guy who goes to a psychiatrist. And he goes in to the psychiatrist and he tells the psychiatrist, he goes, you know, I've been doing some really bad things lately and it's really starting to get on my conscience. And the psychiatrist counsels him and talks with him and he says, so here's what we can do. We'll sit down, we'll go over some things, we'll have a game plan. And basically what we'll do is I'll give you some ways to build up strength for your willpower, how to combat it. And the guy's like, whoa, I just want you to help make my conscience weaker. And I'm like, going, we laugh at it, but it's what we do. It's exactly what we do.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, going, yeah, that's pretty true. Yahweh's righteousness versus something that we make one feel better about their own unrighteousness.
Yeah.
And so when you look at this, you have to think to yourself, okay, why are the churches watering things down? Okay, well, it's because what people want is what people want to feel comfortable with. People aren't comfortable. There's a quote from a sermon that I saw about a guy who's, he went and confronted one of the deacons in his church. And the deacon was having an extramarital affair, and nobody in the church would do anything about it. And apparently three or four people in his church knew about this. And he asked them, you knew about this, why has this not come forward? Well, this guy does a lot, he does this, and, you know, for crying out loud, this is the 90s, you know, back then, this is the 90s, and, you know, we know that it's wrong, but he said, people like him here. And the guy's like going, it doesn't make a difference. That's not righteousness. It makes no difference. You have to confront this. And then the guy, as he walked away, the guy called him back. He was one of the senior people in his church. And he calls him back and he goes, would you preach against homosexuality in San Francisco? And he turned around and goes, absolutely yes. That's where a lot of them live. And I'm like going, this is it. And why don't we do this? Because, holy cow, you talk like that and people are going to walk out and flee from it. And like when they may, and they will. I shouldn't even say they may. People will. People will, because people are going to follow it. They want what makes them feel good versus the righteousness of Yahweh. So when we look at it, wrong is always wrong. Unless, okay, there's always the but. You know, there's always my big but. But wrong is wrong unless it's popular. Okay? Or if it's the law. And I think about that too. How many horrible laws we've had in our own country, for crying out loud, that are absolutely unrighteous or unjust laws. And so not even recently, I can go all the way back to the founding of our country that we had horrible laws. Okay, so does that make it right that we, well, this is a law, so I get to do this. I get to do this. Stealing from my neighbor because he has more than me. If it becomes a law, does not mean it's not unjust. And only if you get caught. Okay, if you're only in trouble if you get caught. And so these are the things where people do, and this is where we've changed our viewpoint. Wrong is wrong, except. Mm-hmm. Except for this. Well, we'll kind of let that go. It's the norm. It's popular. And that's where we are today. If it doesn't bother our conscience. Okay, and that's the big problem that we have here. Let's go to Exodus 23. And I forgot to mark this scripture here, so let me pull this up. Exodus 23:2. Here real quick, and if somebody will read that for me, please.
Did you say?
Yes, chapter 23, verse 2 on page 106.
thou shalt not follow multitudes to commit wickedness, neither shalt thou answer in a quarrel, so as to turn away after multitudes to mislead.
That's it. Don't follow the masses. For crying out loud, if you're following the masses, that probably is the first sign what's happening. And we have to at least be honest with ourselves. If we are following the masses, why am I following the masses in this? Well, a person may say, well, I come here because this is my, I get filled in these areas and these areas. I'm not saying that that's wrong by any means, but we have to be careful not to be led astray by what is unrighteous, by Yahweh's word, by what the popular people drive. Because guess what? 100 years ago, what we see taking place within our churches now would be absolutely unfathomable to today's standards. Just people would be like going, you've got to be kidding me. And so, yes, when we see this as 100 years from now or 50 years from now, what are we going to see? And so this is where you have to be honest with yourself. If you're following the masses, be aware. Don't be fooling yourself. Don't be a dullard into the fact of why am I doing this. And just make sure that you're aware of what you're doing and be watching to see for those signs that if you have to separate from those things, then you do.
Yeah.
Proverbs 15:3, don't have to turn there, in every place are the eyes of Yahweh observing the evil and the good. Okay, the contrast between the two, that Yahweh's seeing this. It doesn't matter what we feel or what we do. Yahweh's word, Yahweh's law is a straight line, if you will. And we curve off. We start baking off. And remember I did a teaching a while back ago. If I'm in a boat and I'm supposed to be going on a heading and I am 1 degree off that heading in 60 miles, I will be 1 mile off course. 60 miles. Now add 1,000 miles. Add 1,000 miles to your trip and see how far that puts you off. Now you have a straight line and you have a line that starts doing this. And so what happens is eventually we hope people will, generations will curve it back over, cut over, not work our way back, but cut straight back over and get right back in line. And so this is where we have to constantly check, and we're constantly kicking things back over there. It's like a trike, if you will, that has like a bearing going out on one side. The parent's steering it, and the keeps going out into traffic, and so the parent has to keep nudging the steering wheel back over the other side. It's to keep it corrected, and that's what we have to do. We are the correctors for our generation, for the other generations, for us to be able to share this. Conscience problems, and this is a big one. The longer you do something, the more a person starts to justify it, the more that your conscience becomes immune to it. And so you become, I think about that for people who've done horrible things over and over and over again, you think that it would just eat them alive, but I think the more and more that somebody does this, the more it just becomes habitual. It's not even a big deal anymore. And it can, you can build up a callus over yourselves. And it protects your conscience from you. You build a shell around that to stop your conscience from crying out saying, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Okay? Ephesians 4:18, and we don't have to go there. Some of the scriptures I just put on here. Being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of Elohim by reason of ignorance that exists within them by reason of their hearts being turned to stone. Okay, there are people who are going to want to be ignorant. I've had conversations with people who want to argue the word. They're not arguing the word. They're arguing against the word to justify themselves. Okay, well, Scripture doesn't say anything about that. And I'm like going, well, let's turn to it and read it. No, I don't care what the Scripture says. And that's the truth. That's what comes out. But the callousness that comes over, we can do that as well, where we're like going, you know, it's not that big a deal. It's been going on a lot. It's been happening a lot. It's pretty common. And we become that way. And now callous over, and it permanently offsets us to that line or that law of Yahweh that Yahweh's calling us to. And so there was a commercial a while back ago that made me laugh. And Ryan and I used to crack up. It was like 2009. And it was the Kia Soul commercial. And it had those hipster hamsters. You guys remember that? They were out there dancing. And they're making fun of the other cars that are not Souls. And they show like a washing machine going down the road with a hamster popping its head out. And they're kind of making fun of it. You can go with this or you can go with that. And that's what they're saying. And at the same time, I'm like, well, that's exactly what Yahweh says to us. He paints the picture. You can have this. This is for the righteous. And here's what happens if you're not righteous, this or that. And he tells us we have to choose. Again, if we don't choose, we think, well, we'll just sit out for a while until we're ready to make that choice. We're making it every single day.
Yeah.
So the righteousness is the this. Okay, you can have this. Yahweh says you can have this, righteousness. Proverbs 15:29, far off is Yahweh from the lawless, But the prayer of the righteous will he hear.
Amen.
Okay? And so these are some of the things that Yahweh's telling us, that you can have this. This is what I'm telling you. 29:6, in the transgression of a wicked man is a snare, but the righteousness does shout in triumph and rejoice. And again, for us, we should be doing the same thing as we're doing this. To be shouting in triumph and joy,
Amen.
To let people know. I don't care if somebody's like, going, what's your problem? I'll tell you what my problem is. It's not a problem. It's the rejoicing that I have. The rejoicing I have for being free in my heart.
Amen.
Next one, Proverbs 10:3. Yahweh suffereth not to famish the nephesh of righteousness. Okay, and 24:16, for seven times may the righteous fall and yet arise. That Yahweh's picking up and carrying through and helping those that stand righteous with him. Okay, that which is the wickedness. 3:33, the curse of Yahweh is in the house of the lawless one. Now think about that one, and this is where I say when I break this down, I talk about this individually for righteousness' sake, family, community, and for governments, for a country, that the curse of Yahweh is in the house of the lawless one. Who wants to hear that? Holy
yeah.
cow, I'm bringing home a curse?
Wow.
Okay, well, let that be a that, okay? Oh, gee, I want the this instead of it. The righteousness of the blameless shall smooth his way, but by his own lawlessness shall the lawless one fall. In other words, by your own endeavors, you will pull yourself down. You will
mm-hmm.
knock yourself down. And you see that over and over again. We see that in the news all the time. 11:6, okay? And we went through some of these when we read these before, but I'm just kind of recapping these. The righteous of the upright shall deliver them, but by their own craving shall the treacherous be captured. Okay? So acts of righteousness and sin, and we're going to go into this a little bit here, is this. We've got the little fulcrum here, the little scales, if you will. And so if I was to ask somebody, you know, some of the benefits of Hitler, okay, that he did. You know, well, we came up with the Autobahn, you know, he had some other good ideas that he had come up with. And I'm like going, okay, is that what he's remembered for? Absolutely not. I would say the same thing for a doctor. Say a doctor who had, personally saved 100 people's lives. But then just for fun, or somebody he didn't like, or he didn't think that they were worth living, killed 2 people. Okay, murdered them.
Yeah.
Would we look at that and say, well, he saved 100.
Yeah.
Okay, so that outweighs the sins of the 2 that he killed. Okay, nobody would say that. They look at that and we're going, yes, it's a balance. Where we look at that going, does it equal out? No, it doesn't equal out, because we know that the wages of sin is death. And so the righteousness is not going to outweigh the sin. And so when we look at that, it's kind of an equilibrium, if you will. And so I put that on there. The sin outweighs the righteousness, because the sin will drive down and they work against each other. And the difference is this. By confessing our sins and coming forth and being relieved of our sins, we still may have to pay for some of the crime or some of the things that were done. But we can be relieved of our sin. By doing that, we also can gain faith and righteousness at the same time.
Yeah.
And so when we look at that, it's kind of a balance between there. It's not saying that one outweighs the other, but what I'm saying is this, that the you can't look at a person saying, and I've heard it too many times, I've been to funerals where people's that were friends of mine, and they said, well, he wasn't a religious man, but he was a very good man. He did a lot of good things. And I'm like going, boy, how sad, how sad. It's just like blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like packing filler. That doesn't matter. It does not matter. And so when we look at that, we're looking at the righteousness. And a person who had a sinful life can be redeemed and come back through. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5:20-21. And we are going to be on page 184. All right. 20 and 21. It's the last two verses of chapter 5, page 184. And I'll go ahead and read these. In behalf of Christ, therefore are we ambassadors. As if Yahweh were beseeching through us, we entreat in behalf of Christ, be reconciled unto Yahweh. Him who knew not sin, on our behalf he made to be sin, that we might become Yahweh's righteousness in him. Okay, the price has been paid. Christ paid for that. The sin was paid for, that we could be wiped free. Christ took upon all sin, that we would be removed from it, that we may in turn also gain the righteousness. And that's what I was trying to show, that when you can have both of those completely removed from that pendulum, that fulcrum, by doing what the Word says and by being righteous. Let's go to Philippians 3:8. If somebody would read that for me there, please. Philippians 3, on page 203, verses 8 through 10.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
3, 8 through 10.
Three.
And I do like that at the beginning of 8. It's kind of like a wake-up call. Yay, doubtless!
Yeah.
You know, you're like, whoa, okay, wait a minute. For all those people asleep, that ought to get our attention here. Yeah, if you would read 8 through 10 for me, please.
Yea, doubtless, and I account all things to be loss, because of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, or Christ Yahushua, my Lord, for the sake of whom the loss of all things have I suffered, and do account them refuse, in order that Christ I may win, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, that which is by law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of Yahweh upon my faith, to get to know him and the power of his resurrection and fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death.
That's it. And that's it. And so when we're taking this on, we're taking on the righteousness of Christ. And so people, all the time I hear, and it's a big stumbling block, if you will, for the body of Christ by today to think, well, Christ did all these things, but I am not Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so what limits me? What limits me is not knowing the Word, not knowing the truth, and not doubting what's written, that we take on the righteousness of Christ. Now, if I was as righteous as Christ, could I do those things? Well, yeah, if I was as righteous as Christ, I'm sure I could do all those things. Well, what are we reading? What are we seeing? What did Christ tell us? That we could do all these things and more. Well, how are we going to do it? I'm not him. I've sinned. I have sin in my life. I'm supposed to be righteous, but I have sin. And I look through the words and I find things about how that no one can be righteous, that we're all this and we're all that. And I'm like going, but when we look at this and it says that we take on the righteousness of Christ through faith. And I'm like going, wait a second, there's something in here that people are missing, that by virtue of this, I can tap into this because I've gained this.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. It's not me that did it, that I can say, well, I'm not Christ, I have sin in my life. Well, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, by what I did, you have. Yeah. My righteousness now is yours. And that's what they're referring to there. Okay, next one here, and I love this. This is Noah Webster. No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people. Mm-hmm. Okay? It goes back to the same one about the tyrant. If you don't have the Constitution founded on Yahweh, you will be founded by a tyrant. And that's exactly what we see. Golly, does anybody see that happening now today around the world?
Oh,
and so the same thing where we're looking at this, if you want a free people, if we want to be free, that this is what has. The freedom has a price to it, okay? But the price for not having the freedom is way higher. It's way higher. Go to Galatians 3, if you would, please. Back just a short little jaunt. Chapter 3, verses 23 through 28. And I will read these, chapter 3, 23 through 28. Before the coming of faith, however, under law were we being kept inward, being shut up into the faith which should afterwards be revealed, so that the law hath proved our tutor, training us for Christ, in order that by faith we might be declared righteous. But the faith having come, no longer are we under a tutor. For ye all are sons of Elohim, or sons of Yahweh, through the faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as into Christ have been immersed, have put Christ on. There cannot be Jew or Greek, there cannot be bond or free, there cannot be male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Okay, and again, there's a saying there that the what we're looking at, the law, okay, the law being the tutor, and now we have the righteousness of Christ is being imparted upon us. And so when we say that, yes, we are going to be remolded, we already are. We're the body of Christ that's already taken part of that, the righteousness that Christ has given. This is a great one also from John Adams. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Okay, and so this is, yeah, and so people nowadays agree that, and they're like going, then that's why we need to get rid of it. That's why we need to, and people would be all in favor of that. And I'm like going, no, the exact opposite. We've had a constitution, we've had a government that stood longer than any other throughout history. And why? Why? Because we made this as a contract with Yahweh. Okay, and so when we separate from that, and we do our own thing, and we walk down our own path, we walk away, and we don't get the this, we get the that. Yeah. And that's where we go to. And the same thing with our families, with our individual lives. Let's finish here in Romans 5:14. Chapter 5, page 154, 14 through 21 here. And I'll go ahead and read this. Starting in verse 14 of chapter 5 of Romans. Yet still death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over them who had not sinned after the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Boy, how unfair this is, okay, that everybody's dying because there's three people that Yahweh refers to as being righteous in a row, and that was Noah, who was it, Chuck? Noah, Job, and
Moses.
I don't remember Moses being there. I can't remember who it was. Anyways, there were three of them that were mentioned in there being righteous. And I think to myself, these people, and that was in the theological word studies I went through there. These people died. They died, and yet Yahweh referred to them as being righteous. And so from that, they died because of the sins of Adam, from Moses, even over them who had been sinned after the likeness of the transgression of Adam. So when we look at this, is that fair that that happens? Mm-hmm. No, it's not fair. Is it fair that Christ had to pay for us?
No,
it's not. Is it fair for us to reject what Christ did for us that we could have those things? No, it's not fair. We do need to do this. This makes it worthwhile for Christ. Yet still death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over them who had not sinned after the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the coming one, but not as the fault, so also the decree of favor. For if by the fault of the one the many died, much more the favor of Yahweh and the free gift of favor by the one named one man, Yahushua Mashiach, or Christ Jesus, unto the many, superabounded. And not as through one that sinned is that which is freely given. For the sentence of judgment indeed was out of one fault into condemnation, whereas a decree of favor is out of many faults into recovery of righteousness. Okay, and this is the whole thing. This is the whole goal. This is the righteousness that we strive for, that we go for, that Christ gave us, that we are able to put on. Job put on, if you will, the cloak of righteousness by what he did. It was actually a metaphor of dressing in this. Okay, dressing and putting this on. Well, same with us. Christ says, hey, here's your wardrobe. I'm giving you this. This is the righteousness. By faith, you can have this. Okay, I'll take it. I'll take it. Yeah. Righteousness. In verse 17, for if by the fault of the one, death reigned through the one, much more they who were superabundance of the favor of the free gift of the righteousness do receive in life shall reign through the one, Yahushua Mashiach, or Christ Jesus. Hence then, as through one fault the sentence was unto all men into condemnation, so also through the one recovery of righteousness, the decree of favor is unto all men for righteous acquittal unto life. What's the acquittal? What's it? What is it, an acquittal? It means it's been removed. It's taken off. It's been wiped clean. It's been removed. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, sinners, the many were constituted, so also through the obedience of the one, righteous, the many shall be constituted. Law, however, gained admission in order that fault might abound. But where the sin abounded, the favor greatly superabounded, in order that, just as sin reigned in death, so also favor might reign through the righteousness unto the life age abiding through Christ Jesus, or Mashiach, Yehoshua Mashiach, our Lord. And that's it. So the acquittal, the words that are put in here are important. So we've all read this before, but read these and see what he's saying. Amen. That you're not gaining this just by you. You're gaining this by what Christ did. You didn't gain death by what you did necessarily. Obviously, we've all had the sin, but there were those that did not, and they still paid for it. It wasn't fair. Okay, but it is fair for me to take what Christ gave to me and pay for it. So that's where I say, let's do that. That's righteousness. That is it. I will go ahead and close and have a word for those watching or watch later. Yahweh, we just thank you for this evening. We just thank you for this wonderful time of year that we do come before you, and that we are just rejoicing as people see us, that we have so much to be grateful for and to be shining for, and to just be mimicking your Son, that in us is Him, and through Him we have you, that we are the temple of you, and we should be shining this and showing this, carrying this forth, that the Israelites carried the ark. They carried this boldly, and it had great decoration and just brilliance coming out of it, and they knew what they had when they carried it. That we should be the same way, that regardless of what things are happening in our lives that may or may not be trivial, or we look at it now as being major, and years down the road will become trivial to us, that we know what we have and we know what we carry, and that we go about as guideposts, just carrying this and showing this and shining this. That as we go out, we carry and know that we are the body of Christ, that we are the temple of the Most High, and that through these things that we have been given righteousness, that the righteousness that we have was put upon us through your Son, and so we thank you for that, that we're able to become this temple, that the temple was torn on the day that Christ did die, and the veil was ripped. We thank you for that, we thank you, Christ, that we're able to come to you, Yahweh, because of him, because of the sacrifice. So we thank you for this, we thank you for all the words, and just for what you've given to us, and that we come before you in thanksgiving and remembrance of all the things that we have read about and seen in the past, and all those that have happened to us in our own lives that we've heard about either through media or have experienced personally, that we remember these things and come to you just in great gratitude and forgiveness for the times that we get into the wall. So we thank you for this, Yahweh, and we just come before you in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. And so I have a word for those that are also listening. And so my children, I put you upon a ship, that you were on a great course, that you were on an adventure, but you pull yourself aside and you secure yourself from the things that you think will be a misfortune to you. You walk in fear and you decide to yourself that this is not for me. I must stay in the middle. That I am shielded. That I am protected. That I am unable under my own doings. And I am calling to you, telling you to walk away from the things of this world. That know that the things of this world are the things of this world, and what you have is outside of this. For there are other dimensions. There are things that are available. For I hear the words that you say to me. I hear the cries that you put upon me. And know that as the evil abounds around you, that you must separate yourself from this. You must stand against these things and squash these things. That as you resist, these things will flee. But while you are resisting and while these things are fleeing, to speak against them, speak my words directly, telling that you will leave. Stand behind me. Know that you do have the power, that you have the faith, that the men that went before you were astonished when they discovered that they had the power to cast out, that they were able to heal. Well, you have that as well, and I call upon you to exercise these things. Come forth, come out of these shadows and out of the middle ground where you feel protected, and come to the forefront where I am calling. Amen. All right. Well, folks, we'll see you next week at Aaron's house. You have a great week, and be interceding for all of our family. Thank you, and we'll be interceding for everybody out there.
Great.